I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Join us on the line right now. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Joe DeGenova, WMAL's legal analyst and former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, before we get started, I just want to go back and remember what we heard last week.
Nothing was marked classified at the time I sent or received it.
110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
Now, Joe, you and I have been watching this story since it all started to unfold, and we started to ask questions about this email server, and we heard the director go through and categorically, sort of make the case, I thought a pretty strong case, that a case should be brought against Hillary Clinton. And then there were all these legal gymnastics at the last minute to make the case that perhaps it shouldn't be brought. Were you shocked when that came out?
Answer, yes. Let's remember, we started this conversation in January when we were doing New Year's resolutions, and I said she would never make it to the finish line. Well, I, of course, have been proven wrong. Why have I been proven wrong? The director of the FBI, James Comey, engaged in the most bizarre, cognitively dissonant news briefing I've ever heard. It wasn't a news conference because he didn't answer any questions, and he did answer questions on Capitol Hill, which sent a torpedo below his waterline. This was an absurd decision, a ludicrous decision, but in fact, it has an answer. James Comey made a political decision. This is what I call an epitaph decision, a legacy decision. He couldn't bring himself to recommend the prosecution of the first female nominee for president from a major party. This was not a law enforcement decision. This was an appalling law enforcement decision. It's a dark day for the rule of law and the fair administration of justice. It destroys classified information enforcement among federal employees. The director of the FBI should resign. His performance was an embarrassment to all of us who have worn the mantle of federal prosecutors. His conclusion that no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case is freighted with the embarrassment of politics. I am embarrassed by the FBI director. His performance in front of Congress was an embarrassment. He has created a double standard of justice permanently enshrined in United States law enforcement. He was predisposed not to bring this case. This was all a kabuki dance. The investigation was nothing. It meant nothing. The way they conducted it shows that it was a fraud conducted by the director and the FBI agents involved in it. The fact that there's been no leaks, no embarrassment from the FBI shows that from the very first day, he knew he was never going to bring this case. He should be embarrassed, but he isn't. By the way, I had a friend the other day who's a former federal prosecutor say to me, I said, do you think he wants to be on the Supreme Court? And he said, no. He heard there's a vacancy in the Holy Trinity. It's either God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost. He wants to be one of the three.
Hi, Joe. This is Mercedes. I wanted to ask you a quick question. For our listeners, James Comey talked about the intent, that she was fine on the sense of the intent on classified information. But when it comes to the statute of gross negligence, why do you think Comey decided to just say, well, that was just not enough to move forward with criminal charges?
He engrafted onto the statute an element that does not exist, intent. The gross negligence statute does not require intent. All it requires is that you dispose of or store the matters improperly. And that's exactly what she did, and that's exactly what he said she did. What he did was, he said she didn't have the intent to violate the law. That's absurd. She did have the intent. Why does he think she set up a series of private servers in her private home and conducted all her business on it? A, to keep it from the public, to keep it from congressional subpoenas, to keep it from FOIAs, to keep it from the court. That is the intent necessary to violate any of the espionage statutes. This conclusion that he thought this was a lecture to children that he was giving at his press conference and at his congressional testimony. The arrogance of Comey talking to people as if they were stupid, absolutely stupid. He had an amazing Obama quality about him for a white guy. It was amazing to watch him talk down to former U.S. attorneys and former FBI agents, and he sat there, and you knew when he did his press briefing. You could tell because his head never went down. He never looked at a piece of paper. He had it all on a teleprompter. This is the end of federal law enforcement for classified information. Now, he'll think of a way to distinguish upcoming cases involving national security. But when all is said and done, for the regular civil servant who accidentally breaches classified information statutes and should never have been prosecuted in the first place, this is the end of those prosecutions. This is the end of those.
Let me ask you about this, because and I got to get into another question here in a minute, but I just got to follow up with this thing. Were you surprised that the FBI director did not look at the sworn testimony of Hillary Clinton on Capitol Hill about these matters when considering whether or not to bring charges?
Of course. And that idiotic statement that he gave, that he hadn't received a referral from Congress. How come he didn't pick up the phone and say, do you want me to look into this? He didn't do that. Listen, the fix was in from day one, and I'll tell you another reason why the fix was in. How about this nonsense where he says her lawyers reviewed emails, deleted them, and destroyed them on their own devices so that they could never be recovered? Now, when I was U.S. attorney, if a defense attorney or group of attorneys did that, they would have been in the grand jury within 24 hours. But apparently the director of the FBI thinks that's just dandy for lawyers to destroy evidence. This was the most embarrassing performance by a federal law enforcement official I have ever seen. And the fact that he sits there today, pompous as anything, waiting for a vacancy in the Holy Trinity, shows you just how far we've come.
Don't hold back, Joe. Tell us what you really think. I know.
You know why? I care about this. I was a United States attorney in a city that was lawless. When I left this town, when I left office, people were frightened of the U.S. Attorney's Office. That's the way it should be if you're a lawless politician. Under Comey, the rule is now out. Break the law, and nothing will happen to you if you're big enough and important enough.
Joe, I want to get you to hang on, because it's time for us to do that traffic and weather thing, but we got to get you to weigh in on the developments in Dallas. Can you hang with us for a moment?
Delighted.
All right. Continuing our conversation with Joe DeGeneva, joined here, of course, by Mercedes Schlapp, who is filling in for Larry O'Connor today. Joe, we just have to weigh in on the Dallas events, the attacks against the police officers there, and what we have, which many people say, well, that was just a reaction to, some police-involved shootings that killed black people. What we have right now in this country, it seems to me, is a moment where it could either get better or it could get a lot worse. I want to get you to weigh in very quickly on the decision by the police department to use the robot and explosives to take out the attacker. They're coming under some criticism for that.
Well, I don't know how they could. I watched the chief of police, Dave Brown, yesterday. I thought he did a tremendous job explaining his actions, not defending them. They were faced with a person who had killed 5 police officers, had wounded 12 people. He was behind a brick wall. They had no way of taking him out, even though he was wounded. They sent in a device which had C4, and it was exploded by a telephone. It was really quite remarkable law enforcement, in my opinion. There was no reason to try and save the life of this individual. There was a reason to take him out so he didn't kill more police officers or citizens. I think people who were concerned, I was listening to Jake Tapper yesterday, asking Chief Brown about this, and in Jake Tapper's voice, you could hear this kind of phony concern for the shooter about why they killed him with an explosive device rather than a sniper's bullet. Now, just think for a second the kind of mind that goes there and worries about the methodology of taking out the assassin. This is, I mean, you have to be in another world to think the way Jake Tapper was thinking yesterday. What's wrong with an explosive device? I mean, the guy's going to be dead with a bullet to the head or an explosive device from a phone. I mean, it's quite remarkable that anybody would even think that there's something wrong with this. The police officer's duty at that point is to take out the assassin. That's exactly what they did. If somebody has a problem with that, I want to see it in writing.
No, that's a great point. And William Johnson, who's the executive director of the National Association of Police Organization, he said on Fox Friday morning that Obama caused a war on cops. What's your feeling about that, Joe?
I think here's one thing about the president, and I want to be respectful to our president. He doesn't have long in office, so I don't think he's entitled to have his life any more miserable than it should be, as any president's life is. The president has always been insensitive to police officers. It has always been difficult for him as a community organizer to believe that officers can be hurt, injured, or somehow worthy of sympathy. He brought that to the office of the president from his days as a street organizer. I understand his perspective. But as president of the United States, in case he doesn't remember, he's the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. That means that law enforcement people are his brothers and sisters. The fact is, the president has never felt that way about law enforcement. He has shown it by the tone of his remarks and the substance of his remarks. He has been at war with police officers in this country from the day he took office. I don't even think he knows it. It's just that instinctively, he doesn't trust police, and that may be because through his experience as an African-American, things have happened to him that he didn't like, and I can appreciate that. But let's not forget, he got elected president of the United States twice. This can't be as racist a country as he sometimes seems to pretend that it is.
Yeah, listen, Joe, I completely associate myself with those comments. He's going to go to Dallas. Were you surprised that he decided to go there for the memorial service?
I actually was surprised because, as you recall, when the two New York police officers were assassinated in their car,
right,
he never got to the podium and said something about those police officers. He only issued a written statement. He never showed up at a podium to mourn the loss of the two New York City police officers who were assassinated by that screwball from Baltimore. He's going to Dallas because he's now thinking about legacy. If he did not show up in Dallas with five police officers dead, he'd hear about it. He'd hear about it from a lot of people. He's going because he has to, not because he wants to.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Joe DeGeneva, thank you so much. Good to have you on this morning. Listen, I said before, I think we're at a point right now with the Dallas situation where it's either going to get a lot worse or it could get perhaps better. Maybe this is a sobering moment where we all can come together and, you know, we're missing each other
in the
conversation.
Well, there's a lot of people hurting, I think, Brian, and this is a time where you need the leadership to be able to bring this country together, and that's what we're lacking right now.
Yeah, but I'm not looking forward to the conventions.
We're going to have a great time.
I'm telling you, given the way tensions are, as high as they are in this country right now, and the fact that you're sending all these people to the conventions to protest, it's not going to take much for something to go very bad very quick.